Hello everyone and welcome back to ED's latest Susty Talk, our long-running interview series that connects sustainable businesses with the latest advice, insights and initiatives that are driving the sustainability agenda for good. You're listening to this as part of ED's Business Leadership Month, a month of content dedicated to showcasing the latest trends and discussing the latest topics that can spur sustainability professionals to new heights. We're recording this the day after our annual awards, and you are probably listening to it the next week or so. But in case you did miss that, our annual awards, ED Awards, celebrates corporate sustainability at its best. And I think we had almost 700 people in the room to kind of celebrate the best projects, initiatives, and people in terms of corporate sustainability and climate action. And so for this Susty Talk, I'm speaking to one of the organizations that supported us in putting this on. So I'm joined by Lawrence Cox, who is the UK lead and sustainability manager of Carlsberg Marston's Brewing Company, who are one of the platinum partners on the ED Awards for 2024. So Lawrence, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Yep, doing well, thank you. Enjoyed the awards last night. Thanks for having me here.
Brilliant. So what I really want to focus this conversation on is kind of sustainability leadership. It's kind of our month is what it says on the tin in that sense. But I think it's something that is constantly evolving. It's not just once you kind of realize what it means, that's it. It kind of is a reflection of all the external pressures that are going on right now. And given the challenges that society and the planet is facing, this kind of looming and already happening climate breakdown, current kind of cost of living crisis, why is it that sustainability leadership in particular is so important right now?
I think it's crucial at this point because there is a clear expectation from society and a responsibility on businesses to kind of take on these challenges. You know, we're in modern society, businesses are central to how these operate. And ultimately that means that, you know, a lot of businesses have the talent, the innovation, the influence, the knowledge and the capital to actually go in and try and solve some of these issues. There's lots of opportunities out there as well. It's not all about the challenges. And I think that another crucial element of this is not just to see one particular actor like business being the savior of everything or being the villain of everything, but really operating within the other organizations, whether it's government or civil society, to really make the transitions happen. So for us as a business, we definitely look at what our responsibilities are, what our commitments are, what the actions we're taking, but also how we can best align with government and NGOs to use the strengths of all of us to push in the right direction.
And I think particular challenge that a lot of sustainability professionals have is to feel like that leadership probably still sits in a bit of a silo, that the sustainability department have this agenda and strategies that have been signed off and they're trying to drive, but they maybe don't feel that it's kind of embedded and that leadership isn't elsewhere and evident amongst the company. So I'd love to get your view on how Carlsberg Marston's has kind of worked to ensure that sustainability is being embedded across different parts of the ownership. Everyone's kind of, I suppose, pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely critical to do that. And there's a few different ways that we do it. As always, improvements we can make. But I think one element of it is definitely engaging the senior leaders in the business. So within the UK, we've got a management team, we've got a joint venture board, and they're the ultimate decision makers. So having formal points in the year where you update them, where key decisions can be made towards strategy and key projects, with ultimate responsibility going to our CEO and the right people informing him on what is happening. So that's your kind of one element of it. And then the step down from that is really, okay, who is ultimately responsible for different topics? So management team members within there, whether they're specialism is logistics or packaging, they're going to be the ones that it ladders up to. But they're not going to be able to do all the work. So we need to then step down and create kind of working groups that have the right influences, the right expertise. So we've got, working groups or steercos that focus on packaging, that focus on other areas, that have those people that have the expertise or work in day to day in those areas. And we can track the progress of different projects through that. So you've kind of got that particular setup that is down from top to bottom, if you like. But then we've also got to look at our whole employee base. In the UK, we've got 2,500 employees. We've got people driving trucks to deliver goods, but we've also got people in offices. So a broad range of people. So we use different tools, obviously, to reach them and to really show what sustainability means for us as a business, all the way from farming raw materials all the way to, you know, producing our products and sending them out to our customers. So giving that all-inclusive collective understanding is really important. You know, we can do that on, you know, internal workplace, our internal channels, ESG report, which goes out to obviously internal and external folks, but also looking at how different roles could also have sustainability involved, more formally or informally. Perhaps talk a little bit about this later, how that can work. But I think it's crucial that different departments start to take ownership of different areas of sustainability. Otherwise, you do hit a lot of roadblocks and you won't make the progress you need. So there's a couple of areas there. Us also as an international business, we have interactions with Carlsberg Group, who also help us on certain projects. So a good example of this is our Scope 3 calculations are kind of helped out by our group team and then communicated and helped to integrate it to the rest of our business in the UK. So there's different roles and responsibilities that we can have as a market versus our group as well in terms of the structure of our business.
That's great to hear. And yeah, it sounds like kind of almost like a big web span that you've got to kind of map out against, which is I suppose a task in itself. And actually, I feel like sustainability as a function has probably moved on in terms of like explaining the why and the when. I think people are kind of, a lot of the departments are kind of understand why sustainability is important and when these kind of things need to be done by. And we're kind of moving into like the how and the who and kind of who has agency of it, as you touched on. I'd love to get your views on kind of how sustainability professionals can kind of hone their, I suppose, softer skills, to use that word. It's probably like more people focused skills to strengthen that kind of agency elsewhere. Like what kind of people skills do you see as being crucial moving forward?
Yeah, this is a real hot topic that we kind of chat with colleagues and ex-colleagues about, having a conversation last night at the awards actually about this very one. So I think the core central skill here is kind of in corporate language, stakeholder engagement, I suppose. But in layman's term, just getting on with lots of different types of people in your business. Can you develop those personal and professional relationships so people get what your role is and why you're there, perhaps can get a bit more inspired or passionate about a project? Because if you can do that, then people will more likely have good quality work or want to get involved in it. Or if you can't get them super excited about it, maybe you can just see how it relates to their role, how their skills fit and map. So I think understanding people and how they can be part of your sustainability journey is absolutely critical. And you know, this works for internal and external people. If you're, you know, that increasingly more collaboration needs to happen between suppliers and even competitors in some specific cases. So going out and meeting those people, understanding how you can work together, or engaging with government collectively to put forward your case. All of these things are basically just getting on with people and understanding how you can help each other. So I think that's the broad theme. Then you kind of get into the weeds of it a bit. I think one part of it is how do you or can you understand complexity? Because within our world, you can't be an expert in everything, but you do have to unpick relatively complex themes and topics. And then obviously explain them to lots of different people in language that isn't too full of jargon. And thinking about those colleagues that maybe will be enticed by certain explanations and others that won't. So the classic example would be kind of speaking to finance colleagues versus speaking to marketing colleagues. You're going to have to switch up your language a bit. You're going to have to think about the levers that are going to get those people interested. And that's adaptability. That's understanding their language. And I think the final point is probably just really being honest about what capabilities you and your team have internally and what capabilities you don't have and where you might look externally to get those. So again, this is things like How do you select the right partner externally? Compatibility point of view, but also a skills matching point of view, and that's really all about again, people skills in a lot of ways, but also breaking down the gaps that you have and being honest about where you might not be as strong as a business.
Yeah, it seems like just honesty and transparency. I think you know, there's a perception that people expect perfection from business, but that's, I don't think that actually is true. They just want kind of honesty and transparency and this view that progress is happening, which I think is important. And I think in terms of business progress as well, we're seeing quite a shift away in terms of like ambitions and targets. I think we used to have quite kind of incremental targets set in, you know, if we use carbon as an example, it was, well, 10% reduction by in the next 10 years or 25% reduction by 2025. Now, obviously, like we've got these big kind of hairy ambitions, net zero. And I suppose specific to your sector, kind of regenerative approaches, not just doing less bad, but actually having a kind of, I suppose, net positive impact. So I'd love to hear more about this kind of mindset away from incremental change and actually starting to build this kind of regenerative approach to business. Like that's quite a mindset shift. How has that happened?
Yeah, I think it is a big mindset shift. I think it's, as you say, setting big commitments is still important. It still galvanizes people. Still gets buy-in from, you know, still have to get buy-in from the business. But really, what it is about now is, how do we get there? How do we progress further? And ultimately, the demands, going back to the first question, really, the demands and the challenges that we have means that we can't just be chipping away a tiny bit. We need to be kind of transforming in a lot of senses. And I think, you know, this reflects kind of the ambition of the corporate sector, but also wider society and the expectations that are out there. So I think in this case, it's almost like you have to shake up some of the systems or some of the processes that you've got within your business. You can't just do things the way that they've always been done. Or you need to look at the current processes and see how you can best adapt them to your needs. So I think this shift is come for good reason, because we understand more about what we need to get to in order to kind of protect the ecosystems that we rely on. So I think that's really where it's come from. And obviously, once a few businesses start doing it, that leadership then leads to more and more following. And then in theory, regulation could then push more in that direction. So I think that's probably why the direction of travel has gone that way. And, you know, we're, I suppose, again, back to the realistic point, we know that these things aren't going to happen in 1 or 2 years. So it's just keeping that momentum, showing the small wins, showing the progress, and then, you know, seeing that kind of more that more longer term things come to fruition.
It's great that you're already in a position to be able to kind of showcase the wins. And I'm kind of the belief that there's no win that's like too small. Everything is great progress. And even like a kind of learning from stuff that hasn't worked still kind of helps in the long term stuff. But I think we're seeing through research that we conducted and kind of reports that come in, that a lot of businesses are kind of stuck in this analysis paralysis, I suppose, mode of not being sure what step to take for fear of repercussions, whether that's reputational, about kind of greenwashing and overstating or making those wrong kind of decisions. So, and a lot of them, they're kind of just stuck in place and just waiting for everything to kind of line up, maybe. As a company that's kind of really forged ahead with your own sustainability journey, what advice would you have for those that are probably still listening right now and thinking, well, my organization's still waiting for perhaps perfect solutions that aren't out there? How do you go out and just do it? As you kind of said earlier, the doing part is key.
I think clearly perfectionism is not going to be the way to approach this. I kind of see it as a balancing between your different priorities, your different ways of approaching this. There's going to be times where you need to really focus on meeting regulations, and that's just going to take all of your time. There's going to be times where you need to go into deep analysis to come up with your strategy, to come up with your position on something. But when you're not in those times where you're really having to focus on those, actually doing the improvement projects and investing in the actions that are going to allow you to achieve those goals or allow you to push beyond regulations is really important. So I think there's, when I look at dividing my time or the time of the people that I'm working with, it's always making sure that you don't forget about that, making progress and pursuing the projects themselves. because otherwise you'll just be speaking about commitments and you'll never actually get anywhere with them. So I think, you know, if you're starting a journey, clearly you have to set up a strategy and you need to make sure you're compliant. But once you're out of that, start to look at setting up working groups, start to identify the key influencers within your organization that have the skills, have the passion, and can start to build momentum. If you've got that clear cadence of people involved in a project, then you are, it's difficult because you're relinquishing control a bit. You're essentially pushing it out to the organization, but you have to do that. I think the other thing that is probably going to be useful going forward is there's going to be far more regulation and far more focus on compliance, which, you know, can be a big burden on sustainability teams or the wider business. But actually using that regulation to then push a little bit further as well. So that's because your business has to do that anyway. It's a great way to get it on the agenda of senior people. It's a great way to get more budget. It's a great way to bring it to the attention of the business. So use it to then push a little bit further and show the benefit of, okay, we've got to do this regulation anyway. So that's look at the opportunities of it. That's not just see it as red tape that is going to cost us and it's going to take time away from us. So going beyond compliance, I think, is something that a lot of companies can look at in the next few years as well.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I feel like in sustainability, every challenge on the flip side of that coin is an opportunity for the businesses that can kind of go ahead and overcome it, which I think is always quite a fascinating dynamic. But Lawrence, thank you so much for your insight today. I'm wary of not keeping any more of your time, but a big thank you for you and the insight that you've been able to provide for us today.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot. It's great talking to you.
And that is it for this episode of Susty Talk for everyone listening. But you will be hearing from us again during Business Leadership Month. So do keep an eye out on the ED website and you'll be hearing from us again very soon. But that's all for now. Thank you and goodbye.